Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, February 5th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, still Super Bowl edition, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And we are one day closer to the big game. Here in New Orleans, it's definitely starting to feel more and more like the Super Bowl is almost here. You can see more people outdoor in the day, definitely more people out at night. Definitely a big police presence. They are expecting a crazy atmosphere down there for sure. It is it's going to be wild here in New Orleans. If you are listening to this and you are coming down, expect it to be pretty crazy. Like, it is going to be a wild, wild Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and hopefully into Monday morning for Eagles fans time here in New Orleans. It is... It's going to be crazy. So with that being said, outside of the practices and the media availability, it's definitely feeling more and more like the Super Bowl. In the availability, I think it's feeling more and more a little closer to kind of what it's like during a game week. Now, obviously, it's never going to be the same. They're not in Philadelphia. There's a bajillion times more media. They're still getting asked crazy questions. Cooper DeJean got asked what his favorite type of milk was. He said 2%. So, like, they're still dealing with some of that crazy media stuff, but it's getting a little more regimented in terms of, you know, media practice, team meetings, those type of things. So, slowly but surely, it's turning back into football. So we got a bunch to get into today. Nick Sirianni spoke to the media on Tuesday. The players spoke to the media. And then, look, we're going to start previewing this game more and more. So I want to get into the Eagles wide receivers versus the Chiefs defensive backs. But first, let's start where we always do, with what is on the schedule for today. Nick Sirianni speaks again. I think he speaks every single day until... No, he doesn't speak Friday. The last time we hear from them will be Thursday. Friday, I think, is their most calm day. And then Saturday, they'll do, you know, team stuff. But so we hear from Nick again today. That is from 11:30 to 11:45 Eastern time here in New Orleans. It's from 10:30 to 10:45 in case you're listening to this in your central time. I guess I never thought about that when I did this for what is a wide array of Go Birds listeners from all over the globe, really. We got Denmark, Tennessee, all types of great places. But yes, Eastern time, it'll be 11:30 to 11:45. Then quarterback Jalen Hurts will take the big podium. He spoke on Tuesday, but it was at a podium all the other players at, and it was wild, like definitely crazy around Jalen. Tons of cameras, tons of media, and frankly, like almost none of them were Philly media. Like that is one thing that happens at these events is Philly media, like it's hard to get to these guys at the podium. There's a lot of TV stations from around the world. They camp up, they don't move. So definitely, that is for sure a difference when it comes to what these players are going through. But Jalen will go after Nick, and then players and assistant coaches will talk. And this will be when all the players are available. Like every single player on the roster has to be in the room. The assistant coaches are going to be available. So we'll be a jam-packed daily pod for you guys on Thursday morning because we'll have a lot of audio to get to from there. Injury report, still no update there. I could just say the same thing I've always said, which is Cam and Landon are going to play, which is what it is, but didn't hear from either of them on Tuesday. Should hear from Landon today on Wednesday, so that'll be good to get an update from Landon. And then I think the first injury report of the week comes out on Wednesday as well, so will be another good indication of where Landon and Cam are at during Wednesday's practice and Wednesday's media availability. Okay, let's get to what was said on Tuesday. So I feel like one player we have not talked about enough this year, and to do it right before the biggest game is kind of funny, but one player that has not been talked about enough this year is Mekhi Becton. Mekhi Becton, I think, has been in some ways like one of the poster childs. Excuse me. Here we go. First yawn of the pod. One of the poster childs of what this team has been this year. He came in. Nobody believed in him. Not inside the Eagles building, but I'm saying like as a free agent. He was considered a bust. And he's played an outstanding level. And I think more than anything, too, like Becton's emotion this year after some of these wins has been really, really awesome to see. Like crying when they clinched the NFC East, all his teammates being like, you want a playoff game, you're going to the playoffs. Like he's now playing in a Super Bowl. And just from being around Mekhi Becton the times I have been, it seems so genuine how much he loves being an Eagle. So what was interesting that came out on media night that we didn't discuss is that Jeff Stoutland said Nick Sirianni was the one who suggested moving Mekhi Becton to guard, which is pretty interesting when you consider, like, and look, Jeff Stoutland deserves a bajillion years of credit. He's the best offensive line coach in the NFL. He's probably the best one the Eagles will ever have. But, you know, when we talk about, like, what does Nick do? Like, little things like that that you don't find out about until after the season or with season almost over is a good example. Like, there's tons of little things Nick does in that building that Jeffrey sees, that Howie sees, that we just don't always get to find out about. So, Jeff Stoutland said it was Nick's job to move Mekhi Becton to guard. So, I asked Nick about that, and of course, he said it was a team choice, but I think Jeff Stoutland's telling the truth here. So, here's Nick talking about Mekhi Becton, but also just him and his impacted emotions this year. So here's Nick on Mekhi Becton.
Nick, Jeff Stoutland said last night that it was your idea during an OTAs to try Mekhi Becton at guard. I'm curious, what'd you see in him that you thought he could do it? And then also, he's been a player that after each win this year, it seems like it's emotional for him because he hasn't had a lot of winning in his career. What's it been like for you to watch him go on that journey to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think we all saw that Mekhi had a lot of talent, and we knew that we were, you know, pretty set there at the tackle spots with Jordan and Lane, and just the contributions that they've made and the players that they've been for the duration of their career. And we had a battling spot there for the guard, and we talked about it as coaches. We talked about it. I talked about it with Howie. You know, just everything. Every good idea comes from collaboration and communication with each other. So, you know, I can't say that, hey, that was my idea. You know, Stout said that, but I know we came up to that, came together with that as a staff, you know, and with Howie and his staff as well. Means a lot when, you know, I'm emotional, as you guys know. And so, you know, at the end of games, and I think sometimes when I say I'm emotional, you see, you kind of think of different things, but I can't tell you how many times after a game I'm overcome with emotion, with just everything, and I love when other players are like that too. And so Makai and I have had some really awesome embraces after games, and I love about Makai that, you know, there's been games where he's just been exhausted and his body just is tired and limping off the field after a score, but had that smile on his face and had that connection with his teammates of, man, I just gave everything up for you guys. I did. And I love that about him, of just, man, he's giving it up for his teammates. He truly loves his teammates. His teammates love him. And he's been a great addition, obviously, to this team for this year.
So, yeah, like I said, Nick gives credit to the staff, and that's good. Like, that is definitely something the staff will see and appreciate, but I think Stoutland told the truth. I think it was Nick that thought it would be a good idea to move Becton to guard, and credit to Nick. But also, like I said, Becton deserves a ton of credit for his play this year. The guard position was a big-time question heading into the season. It was a big-time question during training camp. And Makai Becton has played at a really, really high level. So give Becton credit. He's going to be an interesting decision when it comes to free agency. You have Becton, Bond, Milton Williams. Like, it's going to be tough to keep all these guys. But, man, when you talk about, like, what this team believes in philosophically, not paying Becton would be kind of surprising. I know Steen has played well. Maybe Becton will get big-time money. But my guess is Becton is going to want to stay in Philadelphia, and I think they'll make it work. I think they'll make the money work. Becton's playing at a high level. He loves it here. You can see that on the motion in his face. I think he'll end up staying. So the other thing Nick Sirianni had to say was about the Kansas City Blitz. And I'll play it for you what he said in a second. But I think what he said is very, very true in terms of just you can prepare for it, but you're not going to be prepared for every look that they give. So here's Nick talking about the Kansas City Blitz.
Nick, 2 years ago, Jason Kelce was responsible for pre-snap calls versus the blitz against Kansas City. Now that Jalen Hurts is, what kind of challenges does Steve Spagnuolo's blitz packages force a quarterback when he has to throw hot?
Yeah, you know, obviously, no matter who's responsible for protection calls against the Steve Spagnuolo defense, it creates issues and challenges. At the end of the day, with a defense like the one we're playing, with the great players that they have, and I just can't say enough about their coaching staff and the players that they have. I have the utmost respect for them, and obviously they've been doing this at a very high level, at the best level in the NFL for multiple years now. But I think what's important in those moments against teams like that is you have to play your rules. You have to be ready to adjust, and you have to be on the same page. Now, that's easier said than done. They make it challenging for you. But this is what you prepare for in training camp. This is what you prepare for in the, during OTAs, in meaning you play your rules and you adjust to the different things that are coming at you. And when you're good on offense, my experience has been is when you're good on offense, you watch the tape, you get ready for the tape, but you got to expect the unexpected. And that's the definition of his defense, you know, of the confusion that he creates. So we'll have to be on it. You know, we've had a good week and a half of preparation so far. We got to finish that off to give us an opportunity to be successful against him.
I think how the Eagles handle the blitz could be the deciding factor in this game. They could if they handle it, and like here's what there's going to be 4 or 5 plays in the game where Steve Spagnuolo brings a blitz, and if the Eagles handle it, they'll probably win the game. If they don't, they probably won't win the game. Key moments, third down, red zone, fourth quarter, he is going to bring blitzes. Like in the first quarter, he'll save blitzes for the fourth quarter that they haven't seen so that he can use them in really big spots. And how the Eagles prepare for those and how they do in those moments will decide the game. And that'll be, frankly, that'll be on Jalen. Like it'll be on Nick and the coaching staff with Jalen to help him prepare. It'll be on the other players on the field to correctly like execute what their plan is. But it'll be on Jalen to recognize it. It'll be on Jalen to get everybody in the right spot. And how those plays go will absolutely be crucial in how this game is decided. So next up, if you've noticed, if you've been tracking like what players have been saying during media week, a few players have brought up don't go chasing waterfalls, which, look, I'll be honest, like growing up in Philly, I one of the first CDs I can like remember seeing my parents own, or that I remember owning. I can't remember if I owned it or my parents did, but I remember vividly in my house a TLC album with all three of them on there, like Red album, TLC, Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, Creep, like those were my songs. But Lane was at, like, Lane's brought up the phrase Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, Goddard has said it, I think Cam said it, like a bunch of players have brought it up. So Lane was asked on Tuesday what it's about, and here's what Lane had to say.
I forgot to say it. I think TLC sang it. Yeah, Don't Go Chasing is, I guess, the main theme of it is we can only control so much. So it was a funny inside joke. You didn't know that?
No.
Hey, that doesn't surprise me. Cam's from Nebraska.
So I love a good inside joke, and I also love that it's very clear. I think it shows how tight the team is, number one. But it's very clear that this team, like, there was a messaging this week about Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls, and they've all bought in. And it's such a good signal of how this team is connected, how this team is bought into what the leaders are saying. I know it's a dumb thing, but all the players repeating the same thing is always such a good sign of a strong locker room. It's such a good sign of them listening to leaders. And Lane bringing it up, all these guys, like, I think it's really cool. I think it's a good sign of where this team is at mentally. So speaking of where players are at mentally, AJ Brown gave an answer on media night that I thought was just unbelievably fantastic. And I didn't get a chance to hear it at media night. I didn't hear it until later in the day on Tuesday. But I think it deserves being shared with you all. So AJ Brown has been open during his time in Tennessee, not so much here in Philadelphia because he just hasn't been asked about it, but in Tennessee, he's been very open about his mental health and, you know, I don't want to say bouts with depression, like, but just open about his mental health. And so he was asked about it on media night, and his answer, I just thought was so good. So here's AJ Brown on mental health.
Reach out to someone. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody. Don't be afraid to seek help, you know, because somebody was there for me. And, you know, ultimately save my life. So, keep going. I'm pretty sure you have people who love you and care about you. Don't be so hard on yourself. Take it one day at a time. You can choose your feelings. However, whatever mood you want to be in, you can choose. You want to be happy, you be happy. You want to be sad, you be sad. You can choose it and you can change it just like that. You know, it's just a choice.
When I've said on the pod how I think the best combination of player and leader on the team is AJ Brown, it's stuff like that. Like, maybe, and look, I'm in the media, maybe the media sometimes does a bad job of portraying AJ Brown, maybe sometimes we focus on the wrong things, maybe it's like whatever, but AJ is from my like time being around him, what I know about him, what I've heard from people, like, he's just a great guy. And I think you hear that there. His teammates love him. Nobody's perfect. And I think AJ would tell you that. But AJ is set, like, the Eagles are lucky to have AJ Brown on their roster. And to speak about an issue like that so eloquently, to talk, like, it's really brave what he did. So just wanted to commend AJ for that. I think it's a message we can all learn from and appreciate. I know it's big time football this week, but just wanted to share that. So that was AJ Brown talking about mental health, and props to AJ Brown for being so open about it. So next up, we'll dive back into football and continue to preview this game and talk about the Eagles wide receivers versus the Chiefs defensive backs. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Okay, let's dive into a matchup that, like most weeks, I'm sure the Eagles are going into thinking, we can win this matchup. When you have A.J. Brown, when you have Devontae Smith, when you have Dallas Goedert, and Jahan Dotson has made plays at times this year, I think you go into every game against a back seven or a secondary and feel we can move it on them and we can trust A.J. and Devontae to win these matchups. And I know that's how the Eagles feel. They go into games saying, we have the advantage, our receivers versus their corners. So I think that is the case in this game, but make no mistake about it. The Chiefs have good corners, and I think they probably not better than last time, but I think there's an argument they're just as good. I mean, when you consider Trent McDuffie is way more experienced, Jalen Watson has had a good year. Their safeties, I think, are very good. Certainly Justin Reed. And you combine that with the defensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo that really knows how to use them. It's a really good Kansas City secondary. Now, the numbers don't completely bear that out, at least some of the grading, the advanced stats. But I think they are a good secondary. So first, let's talk about what they do as a defensive backfield. So first of all, they play about 65% zone. So while there will be man matchups and they'll be lining up across from guys, they are predominantly zone team, much like the Eagles are. It's roughly around the same percent. The Eagles run zone. And they finished the year third fewest passing yards allowed. I think that's not the best stat because it can be situational and all those things, but the Chiefs don't spend a lot of time behind. They spend a lot of time ahead, which means a team across from them is throwing the ball mostly to try to get back. So they finish 11th in net yards attempt passing. I really like that stat when judging a secondary. So they're a borderline top 10 secondary. They were 17th in passing touchdowns allowed. Pro Football Focus had them ranked 27th in coverage. That's an encouraging stat if you're the Eagles. I trust Pro Football Focus. The stats don't really bear that out, but it's good to know for Pro Football Focus. They don't view the Chiefs secondary as a very good one. Now, one important thing here to note is that the Chiefs do create turnovers. So they have 13 interceptions this year, obviously not all from the back seven, but in the passing game, they do pick the ball off. That's tied with the Eagles. I think we'd all agree this year, the Eagles did a good job forcing turnovers. And overall, Kansas City this year, 20 forced turnovers. So they average a little over one a game or just about one a game when it comes to taking the ball away. And I think you see that in their secondary. They have guys that are hard hitters. They have guys that do make plays on the ball. And that's how they come away with them. So, like I said, 27th in Pro Football Focus coverage, but the stats bear out a better secondary than that. Let's start this by looking at their number one corner, Trent McDuffie. This dude is legit. And I'll be honest, coming out of the draft, I don't think I was super high on him, but man, he has turned into a stud corner for them. 5'11", he's ranked 5th overall in coverage according to Pro Football Focus. And he's had an interesting year. He played a ton of slot corner the first 5 weeks. That's where he was playing when the Eagles played them in the Super Bowl. But after the bye week, he moved almost exclusively to the outside. He has 890 snaps out wide, 442 on the left, 448 on the right. So kind of like the receivers where the Chiefs move their receivers all around, they do that with the secondary as well. And that's a theme as we go through all these players. Like Darius Slay and Quinyon line up on their sides. Like they don't really move. Quinyon lines up on one side, Darius lines up on the other. You don't see them alternate. Trent McDuffie moves all around. He will travel with the number one guy and they will move him to where they want the matchup to be. So the one thing that is beneficial in this matchup is that when he's lined up across from AJ does have a big physical advantage. Now, Trent McDuffie is a super physical corner, so I can't sit here and act like he's going to get bullied by AJ, but AJ also a very physical wide receiver and has a size advantage on Trent McDuffie. So I think that you will see that matchup. When it comes to Devontae, this is a tough matchup for Devontae. Trent McDuffie's super physical guy. Devontae has the size advantage from a height perspective, but not from a weight perspective. Obviously, Devontae super physical too. Like, I'm not saying he can't handle it, but I think Trent McDuffie is a tougher matchup for Devontae than he is for AJ. But we'll see what the Chiefs decide, because they do move him all around. But without question, the number one corner, and he's become better and better each year. It's pretty crazy. Every year he's been in the NFL, he's been to the Super Bowl. Trent McDuffie. Now, their second corner, Jalen Watson, still very good. 21st ranked corner according to Pro Football Focus. Much like McDuffie and the receivers, they move him all around. He's on the left, he's on the right. He lines up a little more on the left, 269 to 124. So, you know, about 66% off the top of my head. That's probably not great math, but feels like he lines up a little bit more, and he really doesn't move into the slot. So Jalen Watson will be a guy on the outside. The Eagles can move their guys around and try to target him. Like, what is nice about Devontae and AJ is they both are very comfortable on both sides of the field. They line up all over. And so if the Eagles want to try to get AJ, let's say Devontae, away from Trent McDuffie. Now, if he follows him, there's nothing you can do, and he's certainly capable of doing that. But Jalen Watson, just because of how AJ and Devontae play their game, you could potentially get that matchup if you wanted. Their nickel corner, this is probably the weakness. And what's nice here is Devontae's very comfortable in the slot. He's basically 50-50 slot versus out wide. AJ, predominantly out wide, he can go into the slot. But Devontae's the guy that if they want to try to attack, and their nickel corner, Chamari Connor, 58th ranked corner according to Pro Football Focus, is their slot guy. I think that's the guy you target if you're the Eagles. Get Devontae in the slot, work the middle of the field, quick slant routes. You can try to bring him deep if you want to move AJ across the middle, get the safety out, put Devontae down the sideline with Connor on him. I think that's a matchup the Eagles can really take advantage of. So I really like the Eagles' ability to take advantage of the nickel corner for the Chiefs, of Connor for the Chiefs. I think this is the matchup that you target if you're the Eagles. So, because on the outside, like, Trent McDuffie's going to be hard to pick on. Jalen Watson, you can do it, but just because McDuffie moves around, it's going to be tougher. I'd be surprised if McDuffie followed Devontae. I think it's more likely he'll follow AJ. And so if you can get McDuffie on AJ, put Devontae in the slot and get him up against Connor, I think that's a matchup that could really work for the Eagles. So the two backup corners, they've had injuries this year, so they've kind of moved guys around, and they have two corners that have played close to 500 snaps, or say around 400 snaps, that are backups. Nyzi Johnson, he played 19 snaps versus Buffalo. He's pretty bad. If he's out on the field, they absolutely need to attack him. 106th ranked corner, according to Pro Football Focus. He does have good size. He's 6'2", so he has size. A lot of the other Kansas City corners do not, but they just don't play him a ton, and I'd be surprised if he's out there a ton in the Super Bowl, barring injury. And then Joshua Williams, 41st ranked corner, so in the limited snaps he's played, he's been pretty good. Fourth round pick in 2022. We'll see how much he is out there on Sunday. So again, looking at the matchups here from the corners versus the Eagles receivers, McDuffie basically 50-50. Jalen Watson lines up, he'll line up whoever lines up on the right side, since he lines up on the left. But since Devontae and AJ move around a ton, you'll get snaps against them. And then Connor versus whoever's in the slot. So yeah, this is very similar to the matchup of the Eagles corners versus the Chiefs receivers, where there's just not a clear one-on-one matchup. The Chiefs, it really stands out to them the more you watch them. They move guys all around. They do it with Chris Jones. They do it with McDuffie. They do it with Xavier Worthy. The only guy they really don't move around is Karlaftis, and he's a very good player. They just don't move him around as much. So before we wrap this up, I did also want to talk about the safeties, because they have a very good safety in Justin Reed. And again, surprise, surprise, they move him all around. 523 snaps in the box, 328 snaps at free safety, and 177 of those snaps in the box were at corner. So they put him in the box. They allow him to go out and play slot corner if they need him to. They're comfortable with him playing free safety. Prior to the snap, figuring out where Justin Reed is absolutely huge. And then very similar thing with Brian Cook. He's more of their predominant just free safety, almost 600 snaps at free safety, but he's been in the box quite a bit, and he has 131 snaps at slot corner, almost as many as Justin Reed. So they have two safeties that they are comfortable moving around. They're comfortable putting them in coverage. They're comfortable blitzing them. It is really a versatile really good back seven, or back four, I guess I should say, in this case, back five, if you want to include the nickel. It reminds me a little bit of the Rams corners in the way of the versatility and moving them all around. They're just better players right now than the Rams have in their secondary and in at corner and safety. So that'll do it for the preview of the Eagles receivers versus the Chiefs defensive backs. And again, the main takeaway is here is a lot of different intriguing matchups. Guys are going to move around. You're not going to be able to really get what you want unless you put whoever in the slot, whether that's Devontae, AJ, Goddard, Dotson. The slot corner is where I'm targeting if I'm the Eagles in this matchup. So that will do it for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're one day closer. He's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.